Y'all know the name.
Episode of the Straight Talks podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. What can you say? What can you say? Season's changing. Weather's getting nice. Baseball started again. And another professional athlete's convicted of murder. What can you say? But anyways, we'll get into that. We'll get into that in the first half of the podcast. Tonight, we're going to be discussing the Aaron Hernandez verdict. For those of you that have been watching the trial, and for those of you that haven't been, we'll run down the main points of the trial and the case itself. We're also going to do our weekly album review, and we're also going to talk about my city, Toronto. Some of the things that are going on in the city of Toronto, sports-wise. A poll came out, or an article came out a couple of days ago, and we'll discuss some of the points that article made about Toronto and its sports scene. Not the fans, just the scene in general. And I have a couple of things that I want to add as well. But before we get into all of that, as usual, you can reach us on our website, www.straighttalks.com. That's STR, the number 8-TALKS.com. You can also reach us on Twitter, the @ Straight Talks, same way that it's spelled in the website name. STR, the number 8-TALKS, all one word. And there's also a bunch of different ways you can subscribe to our podcast. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, and there's a number of podcatchers that are on the website as well, all listed down on the right side of the website. Pick one and you can receive updates on when we have new episodes posted. There's also an option to have new episode notifications emailed to you. Just enter your email address in there, and every time a new episode is posted, you'll get an email stating that a new episode is up on the website. Come visit. So there's no reason for people not to download or even listen to these episodes, because they're readily accessible everywhere you go. And there's also a Straight Talks forum. It's for us, for the people that registered for the forum. So you can get on there, you can create topics, you can respond to other people's posts, respond to other people's topics, whatever. It's for us, by us, for lack of a better term. But just ask that you respect the people on the forum. If you don't agree with something, you can politely respond. Don't want to get into a name-calling forum out there. So go ahead and visit that. There's a way to get to that on the website as well. I think at the top of the website, there's a tab called Forum. Just click that and it'll take you straight there. So with all that being said, we're going to get straight into this week's podcast. Stay tuned. So we're going to start off this week's podcast talking about Aaron Hernandez. And that's the bad thing about doing a weekly podcast. By the time I get around to doing it, it's old news. But I think he only got sentenced on Thursday or Friday. Or maybe Wednesday or Thursday. But it's about 5-6 days later. But like I said, that's the bad thing about doing a podcast, a weekly podcast. If it was daily, we would have talked about this when it happened. Probably the hour after it happened. But, you know, what can you do? There's only so much time in the week to do things. So here we are. Now, for those of you that don't know the story about Aaron Hernandez, I'm sure all of you do. But for those of you that don't know, former football player for the New England Patriots, star tight end, convicted of first-degree murder, sentenced life imprisonment, promising young tight end in the NFL, big career in front of him, lots and lots and lots of money in front of him, threw it all away to live the gangster lifestyle. So you wanna be hardcore. And we'll get into that, we'll get into a little bit of the facts later on. Not going to sit here and talk to you too long about this because it's pretty much cut and dry. Well, my whole perspective on it is this guy's one of two things. and the facts will back up what I'm saying. He's one of two things. He either thinks he's above the law and can get away with murder, literally, or he's the stupidest person on the face of the earth. And I'll tell you which one I'm leaning towards as we get to the end of what I'm about to say. He's either the dumbest person on earth or he thinks his shit don't stink. Now, I'm not going to get too deep and not going to give you facts. If you want to get facts, the whole stinking trial is on YouTube at an hour and 20 minutes at a time. You can watch every single day of this trial, and I think it was 40 days. You can watch every single second of this trial on YouTube. So if you want to go ahead and do all that, you can do all that. I'm just going to give you some facts that I found. And the reason why I believe this guy could have been labeled, and in some places he is labeled, but he could have been labeled without a doubt a serial killer. Could have been labeled without a doubt a serial killer. And we'll get into that a little bit later as well. But I'm just going to run down a little bit of a timeline where if we can see that this guy is a ticking time bomb ready to explode and how violent the explosion is going to be. Or if it's something that we can just chalk up to adolescence, learning your lesson, getting hooked into the wrong crowd early in your life and then finding the right path later on in life and leaving the gangster lifestyle behind you.
Now let the story begin.
So we'll start in 2007. 2007, he was a 17-year-old, I guess. I believe he was recruited by the University of Florida, and he did attend the University of Florida on a football scholarship. Went to a bar out in Florida with some teammates, I guess. Had a couple of drinks. Didn't want to pay for those couple of drinks. Said he didn't order those couple of drinks. Didn't want to pay for those couple of drinks. Ended up getting into a fight with the bar manager. Ended up punching him in the head so hard he ruptured the man's eardrum. Okay. Got away with that. Later on in 2007, summer of 2007, double shooting occurred at a stoplight. There's three passengers in a car. Another car rolls up, and five shots were let off into this car. You know, driver and two passengers. Nobody was killed, luckily. But when one of the survivors was asked by police what happened, they said they saw a Hispanic or Hawaiian-looking guy with a big build with lots of tattoos pulling the trigger of a gun. And it's like, well, if I'm reading into this, it's like, well, if someone's shooting into a car that I'm in, I'm ducking down. I don't know who the hell's shooting. I'm not, my head is on the floorboard. I don't know who's shooting. till it stops. You know what I mean? So I don't know if you can really take that into consideration. But if it was him, you know, there's three potential murders right there. And I'm saying potential, and this is the reason why I'm saying he could be labeled a serial killer. Because there could be three murders right there. He was 17 years old and ruled as a minor, and no charges were ever laid against him because the exact identification wasn't forthcoming by any of the passengers in the car. They couldn't say for sure it was him, so no charges were laid. Got away with that. Later, I don't know, I know after that, he took a selfie with a Glock or a gun as well on his cell phone. So we have this guy taking pictures, selfies with guns now. So whatever. Youthful exuberance, we'll call it. We'll call it that. In 2010, after his senior year in Florida, I don't know, junior year in Florida, he was drafted by the New England Patriots of the NFL. Okay? Now, the New England Patriots did something very smart, in my opinion. They signed him to a rookie contract. The only way he could collect 75% of his contract was if he stayed out of trouble, if he didn't miss any meetings, and he was just out and about doing the right thing. And doing the right thing, obviously, not going around shooting people, not getting into fights, you know, not having your name in the paper for domestic violence and things like that. Just doing the right thing, not missing meetings, being on time, and you would get your money. For the length of his rookie contract, he was a model teammate. Except for the couple of incidents where you get into a fight with a teammate in the locker room, and that's nothing. That's soft. Everybody does that. I've done that in locker rooms with people and best friends. You know, your best friend on the damn team, you get into a fight with him and it's pushing and people have to hold you back over something. You know, you're having a bad day and then someone just says that one thing that snaps you, and it's happened to me. It happens to everybody that's played sports. It's just the people like Nancy Grace that don't understand a locker room or sports teams and things like that. You got into a fight. That's soft. That's nothing. That happens to every team. Just don't hear about it. So, yeah, he was a model citizen for the New England Patriot organization. Now, there were red flags. He failed a drug test and while he was at the University of Florida for marijuana and things like that. So the Patriots decided to take a chance on this kid. But like I said, they linked 75% of his contract to be in the right frame of mind for the rest of your career, at least. We'll give you this money. If not, you're not getting anything. We'll dock you what we feel appropriate, and you won't see any of the money that you're promised. Or that you're, you know, that's part of your contract. And like I said, they said he was great. So in 2012, New England Patriots decide, you know what, this guy, great player on the field, he's been a great guy off the field, let's give him a contract extension. So they gave him a $40 million contract extension. It's a hard knock life forever. And that's $40 million over 5 years, $8 million salary per year. But they also gave him $12.75 million signing bonus, which is guaranteed money. They're going to give him, well, the way bonuses work is, well, signing bonuses work, they could either pay it all up front or they can just divide it up amongst the years of your contract. So if you get a $12 million signing bonus over 4 years, they just give you $3 million before every season. They just hand you a check for $3 million. Here you go. There's your signing bonus. It has nothing to do with your play or anything like that. It's not your contract. It's just here. Here's your $3 million. There's your bonus. And that $12 million bonus, or $12.75 million bonus, is one of the largest signing bonuses a tight end has ever signed in the NFL. It's a hard knock life forever. I mean, his life was getting on track. Finally, he's out of his rookie contract where they're holding back. Well, not holding back 75%, but you know, you got to do this in order to get your money. Not just play well. You got to have to do this, and this in order to get your money. So he's out of that. Now he has a contract. Here's your $8 million. Just keep on doing like you're doing. Here's another 12, almost $13 million as well. Just keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for all your good work and hard work. So now it's time to wild out, I guess. I guess it's time to wild out now. Now that you got all your guaranteed money in, you got a big contract, you're a big star, now it's time to wild out. That year, he bought a brand new house with his fiance. They had a daughter that year as well. Nice house, big house, 7,100 square feet, I believe. Four-story house in the suburbs of Connecticut. Probably cost a pretty well, cost $1.3 million. So yeah, pretty penny. Seemed like a normal guy. Put all his past transgressions behind him, we'll say. But doesn't seem to be the case. And later on in 2012, there was a double homicide committed where two men died. And it was a drive-by shooting. Evidence leads to believe that Aaron Hernandez was the shooter. With the three guys that he could have killed when he was 17. And the two guys that he allegedly killed were up to five. Were up to five guys that could be killed. Two that were killed and three that could have been. And that was 5 months before his daughter was born. He's out there wilding out with guns.
I'm trying to murder everything moving.
Shooting at cats. At a traffic light. Again, at a traffic light. Pull up beside them and lick shots. So, we move on to 2013. And that was coming back from a club. I guess something happened in the bar and Aaron Hernandez was pissed off about something. So let's load up the guns and teach these guys a lesson, I guess.
Youngster for life.
2013, after leaving a Miami strip club, an altercation happened in the strip club with one of his, and I'm doing air quotes, friends. They both get into his car. Aaron Hernandez is driving. They get to a stoplight, and Aaron Hernandez pulls out a gun and shoots this guy. Doesn't kill him, but the guy lost the use of his right eye. Where he shot him, sitting right beside him, and I don't know if he meant to kill him. Maybe he tried to just shoot behind him and scare the guy. I don't know. But the guy, he didn't shoot him in the face, obviously, because I think he would have killed him if he shot him in the face. But he lost the use of his right eye. Maybe he had hit something and something broke off and a piece of it went into his eye. I don't know. But there's another one. That's another guy that could have died. So we're at six. And he's being sued. Well, I think he was sued by the friend. And I'm doing air quotes again. Friend that was that lost the use of his eye. But again, nothing really came about that until this incident happened. And this is the incident that gets me. Like, it just feels like it was Aaron Hernandez and Wile E. Coyote out there planning this thing. Just the facts that came out from this incident. It's just like, this can't be true. It can't be true what I'm hearing. It has to be exaggerated because nobody is this stupid. Like, even if you watch Law and Order or movies and right after watching an episode of Law and Order, putting together, like, let's try and get away with this crime, you wouldn't do what this guy did. You wouldn't do what this guy did. And that's why I say, I don't know if he's an idiot or just, don't worry about it. It ain't going to come back to me. I've shot enough guns at people and nothing ever come back to me. This one won't come back to me either, so let's just carry it out.
Jurors also see Hernandez at a bar partying with Lloyd two nights before he's killed, suggesting Hernandez was angry about something that happened that night.
This jury has yet to hear a motive for Odin Lloyd's death.
Well, there's two different motives behind this murder that I've heard. One was he knew too much about the double murder that happened the year prior in Boston where he was involved. And maybe the police were still investigating that and they were trying to squeeze his friends. And Aaron Hernandez didn't trust that Odin Lloyd would keep his mouth shut, so he had to go. That's one motive that I've heard. And the other one was there was a discrepancy at a bar about how much each person should have to pay. And I can see the latter being probably more plausible in my mind. Because everyone knows, you go out with a millionaire, you don't expect to dig into your pocket to pay. You should. You should. But if you know, if you're going out with Jay-Z, are you really going to pitch in $50 to the tab? You really think you should? Of course you should, but do you really, in your mind, you're like, yeah, Jigga Man will take care of that. My man's almost a billionaire. He's gonna ask me for $50. I ain't paying that. That's what most people are gonna think. So I can see that one being more plausible. It was a $273 bill, I believe they showed, and I think he just paid it. Aaron Hernandez just paid it, but I think he was also pissed off that men didn't want to pitch in. So that's another motive behind the killing, is that this guy was just like, I'm not paying, screw you, or whatever, and went on with his business. And I guess Aaron Hernandez didn't like being disrespected like that.
Youngster for life.
So they took this, air quotes again, friend, out to a industrial lot a mile from Aaron Hernandez's house. I'll repeat that, a mile away from his house. And put, I think, 6 bullets in him and left him there for people to find him. Now, I don't know much details about the other murders, but just by watching the news and reading papers and this, that, and the third, I know a little bit about this murder. And by the way, this murder makes 7 people that he could have killed, by the way.
The 3 men are seen getting into a Nissan Altima and leaving about 1 a.m., and picking up Lloyd about an hour and a half later at his house. Prosecutors say Lloyd is shot dead in an industrial park by about 3:30 a.m., minutes after sending his sister a text that reads, NFL, just so you know. Back home, video shows Hernandez's Altima pulling back into his driveway less than a mile away, a few minutes later. Inside, Hernandez is holding something in his hand at his basement door. A Glock expert calls it a gun.
And it all has to do with video. The videotape is the thing that kills me. I know there's videotape at the gas station that they went to fill up the car before they picked up this guy to take him to the lot to kill him. I know there's videotape there. But the videotape, there's videotape inside his house. Before and after. Okay, fine, before, who cares? But after they come back, he walks into the house with a gun. Same type of gun that have the shell casings were at the scene of the crime. Same type of gun that shoots those bullets. So he puts it in his waistband, in full view of the camera, puts it in his waistband and goes down to the basement. So I'm assuming he's stashing the gun down there. My whole thing about it is this, though. Okay, if I'm killing someone that I was seen with, or one of my friends, which I would obviously never do, but if I were Aaron Hernandez and I was going to kill my friends, I would not kill the guy a mile away from my house and leave the body there. Someone's going to find his body. And when they put together, when's the last time who was the last people he was with? It's going to be you, because you're on videotape. You're on videotape driving with him. You're on videotape with him getting into your car. And then they're going to put together what time they saw you with him. Because the time is going to be on the timestamp is going to be on the tape. They're going to put together what time this guy died at. And they're going to put you at the scene. Am I crazy? Am I wrong? Second problem I have with this. And I'm leaning towards this guy's a freaking idiot. If you haven't. Figured it out yet. I'm leaning towards this guy's a freaking fool.
Fool, no bumbo clad.
You have security cameras in your house, and you're doing all, you just killed the guy. You're doing all this nonsense. You got this, that, and the third. You got guns and blah, blah, blah. I don't know when you, I don't know if I don't know when people kill people, how their minds think, but if you're all flustered and whatnot, you don't know what time you did what. You don't know what's going to be on the in-house security. Just get the tapes and erase them all. Just get the tapes or the hard drive that it's on and just erase it. Erase the whole thing so they don't have anything. The only reason why I know you walked into your house with a gun is because it was on videotape. It was inside your house and it was on videotape. Now, they said that there was certain footage that was erased from the hard drive that was recording the security cameras. But the footage that was left on was him walking into the house with the same type of gun, with the same type of caliber bullets that was used to kill this guy 30 minutes earlier. that's the footage they left on. It's like I said, man, it's like Wile E. Coyote, man. Are you for real? That's the footage that you leave on? Not that just you walking into the house and, you know, changing your shirt or this, that. The footage of you walking into the house with the exact same gun they're looking for 30 minutes after this guy gets shot, that's the footage you leave on. So what freaking footage did they take off? That's what I'd like to see. And they also got evidence like he bought gum or something like that at the gas station and he was chewing the gum and then they found the gum at the crime scene with a bullet casing stuck to it. And it's just, I don't know, man. I don't know. I've never planned to kill anybody. I don't plan to kill anybody. But these are the kind of details that you would probably work out before you just went out and put 6 bullets in someone's face. So did he want to get caught? I don't know. It seems like he did. Or maybe he just thought that, you know, nothing's going to happen to me. I've already killed almost 6 people. Nothing's going to happen to me. I always get away with it. I'm a football player. I play for the Patriots. It's Boston. I'm a hero here. Ain't nothing going to happen to me. Or, like I want to think, or like I think, that's a freaking fool. A man's a fool. But anyways, justice was served, and the verdict came down.
And that is BRCR 2013-0983-A. We are charged with the crime of murder. The jury returning a verdict of murder in the first degree. And in consideration of the crime for which you now stand committed, you are sentenced by order of the court as follows. You are committed to the MCI Cedar Junction for the term of your natural life without the possibility of parole.
And that's what he got. He got life imprisonment for no chance of parole, first degree murder, life done, 25 years old, done. And you think about that, 25 years old and you're in prison for the rest of your life. You live to be 75 years old, you're in prison for 50 years. Everything that you're used to on the outside, getting chicken wings when you want, getting Chinese food when you want, going hanging out, smoking weed, you know, your girlfriend, the pleasures of your girlfriend, we'll say, you ain't getting that. And being a star in jail, you know people are going to test you. First thing someone's going to do is try to fight you so they can get their props in the jail. And you're gonna run into 5, 6, 7, 8 guys. You have to fight 8, 9 guys. I guarantee you in the first year you're in jail, you're gonna have to fight 8 or 9 guys just because you're a star. This guy ain't so tough. Fuck that guy. Let's get him. Well, unless they put you in, not solitary, but they put you in your own wing or your own cell and you don't see anybody. And I think that's even worse for the rest of your life, not being around anybody. I think that's worse. But probably for his own safety, they're doing that. But the girlfriend, the fiance, also testified because she was on video. She took out a box from the basement. Prosecutors were like, and it was on video, her taking the boxes out of the house. And it was on video. They didn't get rid of that either. So they were like, the prosecutors are like, yeah, well, what's in the box? It's like, oh, I don't know. I think it was weed. Okay, where'd you put the box? Oh, I don't remember. Oh, you don't remember. Okay. But she got immunity for her testimony, so nothing could happen to her. But again, that's the father of your kid. You're going to do everything in your power. Well, I hope. I'm assuming she's going to do everything in her power to get this guy off. And so she's not going to totally incriminate her baby's father. So that was earlier on in the trial anyway. So hopefully he might have got off, but he didn't. But I think there should have been. I know I'm 70 to 80% positive. I know she knows exactly where that box was or put. And I don't think it was put in any dumpster. I think it's still around. And damn sure she knows where it is. Damn sure she knows where it is. And I'm damn sure she knows what was in it. But anyways, who am I? Who am I? So that's the Aaron Hernandez case. And I say good riddance. You know, we don't need There's always going to be people like that out there, but when you catch them, you don't let them go. You don't give these guys 8 or 9, 10 years or whatever. You put you set a message and you put these guys away. Never understood it, man. This guy had his whole life in front of him. Big money contract. Just signed it 2 years ago. He'd be second year. He'd be the third season into his contract with this season coming up. Making $8 million per year plus an extra $3 million on top for the bonus. It's throwing away $11 million per to live the gangster lifestyle. I don't know. And now Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, is like, yeah, well, you know what? We paid him that 2 years of bonus. We're not paying him the bonus this year, obviously, because we cut him. But the money's guaranteed, but we're not paying it. And if he wants it, he can sue me. That's what he said. So he ain't seeing that money. So I hope that they bought that house, because I'm pretty sure mommy and daughter are going to need that money eventually down the road. So I'm hoping they bought that $1.3 million house and she can sell it and move into something smaller and, you know, put a little change aside for a rainy day. She's going to have to get a job. So, you know, it's not just Aaron Hernandez's life that's over. It's not over. Well, their life's not over, but it's going to be extremely affected by this verdict. So, but like I said, good. The hell off the streets. This guy just pointing guns at people and just shooting. It's crazy. But anyways, off that, we're going to get into the album review right now.
And that's where the story ends.
This week, we're going to review an album of one of my favorite artists. And I was surprised to see that he had a new album out. I didn't even know he was still rapping. But when I saw it, I definitely had to get it. And that artist is Jay Live. He has a new album called His Own Self, self-produced, written, all lyrics written, spit, produced, you know, distributed by himself, by Jay Live and his distribution company, I believe. Like I said, one of my favorite rappers. If you ever heard Jay Live, he always comes with knowledge in his raps. He always has something to say. You know, it's never any filler, never any nonsense. It's always, like, he always tells it when he does storytelling, it always flows and it always keeps you interested. And just the way that he uses words and metaphors and the punchlines and everything that come in after, it's just one of the best MCs that I've come across. And anytime he puts anything out, I'll cop it, just like Sky Zoo. So like I said, this album is named His Own Self, and it's produced by Jay Live himself. All the beats are done by him. Now people are saying that the beats are terrible, beats are whack. These are the kind of beats that I like. These are the beats like, you know, you're waiting for the bass line to come in or the drums to come in and they don't. it's just the intro for the whole beat and it's just like, yeah, it's different. Like, I don't know if any of you have heard a song called Bragging Rights, where he just, the whole song is just I'd say like a 5-second snippet of a beat. And he just loops it over and over and over again. Wicked. And if you ever seen him live, he has two turntables and he just has the snippets on each turntable. And as he's rapping, he's spinning it back. It's wicked. It's wicked. If you haven't heard it, go get on YouTube and check it out. It's called Bragging Rights. Rights spelled W-R-I-T-E-S. So go and cop that. But we're going to review this new album called His Own Self. We're going to start off with the second track of the album called Mike Singletary. And you're going to hear what I'm talking about when you're sitting down listening to what he has to say. And it's like, yeah, man, this guy is talking knowledge. And then, you know, you're waiting for the beat to come in, the drums, and they don't. So check out this song. It's called Mike Singletary.
From the U.S. to the White Cliffs of Dover, 20 years strong and never crossed over. Pushed to the breaking point, break for the tipping point. Tipped by the scales and forced to scale back. Backed by popular demand of a brand. I brand my own herd that heard and understand the stand. With your man and man the battle stations. The stations don't play it, they playing with our patience. The patients need food, let that food be the medicine. Medicinal qualities are qualities to let us in. Inventors Guild need investors for real. The power vested in these testicles. They test them one kill, the test the God still. I'm still blessed to build according to my will. I'm saying body your mind, your best. Mind your P's and Q's, or I body your whole alphabet. I bet on myself till death and won't lose. In death, I still win and get the best rest. The rest can just watch and learn to manifest. The festivities don't stop, but I digress.
We go out, we hear people in the mall. We go out, we hear people in the mall. We go out, we hear people in the mall.
So you can see what I'm saying. You're just waiting for the drums to come in, and then, you know, they don't. but if you're paying attention to what he's listening to, you never really notice until you hear it the second time. And it's like, yo, this beat's kind of different. It's kind of ill, you know. But yeah, that's the first track that I the second track off the album, but the first track that I liked off of it. So we'll go to track number four. It's called Old Shit, and if you listen, he's telling you a story. So here we go.
I'm just not about shopping for a whole lot of clothes, you know what I'm saying? I keep it simple. You know, I coach my clothes. I got my starters. I got my bench. You know, I keep a real tight rotation. I might have a little rookie of the year every now and then. But for the most part, when it's crunch time and I need a bucket, you know, I'm going to my season veterans. And I keep them fresh.
Yeah. Chances are you see me, I'll be rocking some jeans. I'm a simple man with simple needs, of modest means. Which means by no means on my jeans some kind of status symbol. That's a different kind of simple. See, I pick my wares with cares and brand loyal.
True.
And cheap brands don't last more than a year or two. But one thing I don't do is cop that brand new just for the sake of being brand new. Still use an iPhone 5, y'all mean? And that's only cause my four was in the washing machine. In them same old jeans. Call me a creature of habit, and the habit is I'm spending frivolously, dag nabbit. My own little motto when it comes to the store. I might go broke, but I won't go poor. Quoting Kanye like, wait till I get my money right. Well, there's no debating, I'm still waiting.
So that track's called Old Shit, and it's track four off the album. Like I said earlier in the intro to the album review, people are saying the beats are whack. I love that beat. Any piano or horns, man, I'm good. I love that beat. And, you know, the flow is nice and everything as well. But, I mean, people are saying J-Live fell off and this, that, and the third. And I still think he comes with it. I mean, he spits wicked, in my opinion. That's a concert that I'll always go to, so if he ever came to Toronto. But so that was track number four. It's called Old Shit. Track number seven, I'm a Man, American Justice mix, coming right now.
To the people, not the flag. The flag will never represent the people till we all considered equal in the eyes of the law. Rich or poor, officers kill blacks with no remorse. Then ask what we bitching for, and wonder why the innocent ain't even stitching for them. You just as dangerous as criminals, so pick your poison. Part of the problem that refuses to relate. Turn the hood to a trap, very few can escape. Like the word that precedes it, neighbor. But if it ain't the cops, it's somebody else's neighborhood. Watch as the money turns your block from hot to the new hot spot. Now it's someone else's neighborhood. Watch how police get along with them. The stormtroopers think the whole hood is truant, unless it's affluent. But even if you're fluent in the language of the law, with stacks of greenbacks, you can't reply. You'll buy out the fact. If you're black, there's a target on your back, your front, your side. They blow down your front door where you reside. Air out your ride, whether hoopty or coupe, your hoodie or your suit, you're ugly or you're cute. A dentist or a son with a scholarship to hoop. Colin Powell or Snoop. Hands on the steering wheel, thrown for a loop. Hands up, wild out, screaming don't shoot. Without even so much as a oops. Arms to the teeth like troops. Fully automatic, patrolling the war zones that we call home. Unless I'm breaking the law, leave me the fuck alone.
America,
black people are treated very much as the Vietnamese people or any other colonized people, because we're used with blue lights.
So he hits many different topics in that first verse there, talking a little bit about the Ferguson shooting, a little bit in there, and just how it is when you come from the hood that he grew up in. Anyway, he grew up in, I think, Brooklyn or Bed-Stuy or something like that, so he can better tell you than me. But yeah, man, the beat's nice, lyrics flow. If you're waiting to hear Yayo and Guns and this, that, and the third, you got the wrong album here. So he's going to give you his perspective on social issues. He's going to give you his perspective on what's really going on behind the scenes. So knowledge rap, if you want, for lack of a better term, knowledge rap. I call it 5% rap. Only 5% of it's good, in my opinion. But this is definitely in that category. The last song we're going to review, it's called Red and the Kid, and it's number 8 off the album. The reason why I like this track is because when I heard it, I was just like, yo, he sounds like a rapper from the past. He's using that old school flow. Who is it? And then the hook came in and it was just like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. If for all you hip hop heads, you'll know what I'm talking about when you hear it. So this one's called Red and the Kid. It's track number 8, and it's the last one we're going to review. Here we go. So when I heard the hook, it was just like, Greg Nice. He sounds exactly like Greg Nice. The cadence, everything. It's an old school type of vibe song. So at least he's bringing it back a little bit and paying homage to some of the old school MCs. It was killing me while I was listening to the verse. I was like, yo, I know that voice. I know that rhyme style. Who the hell is it? I was doing some work and I couldn't fully concentrate, and it's just like, as soon as I heard the hook, I was like, Greg Nice. But anyways, so that's the album review. Again, the album is by Jay Live, produced by Jay Lives. Album's called His Own Self. Seriously, it's only 12 tracks. I just gave you a review of 4 of them, so go pick it up if you like conscious rap. Nah, it's not preaching at you, but it's going to give you a perspective on what's going on. If you don't like reading the news or watching the news, and you only play video games and listen to music, then definitely pick this up, because you'll get some social issue commentary in this album. So definitely pick it up. Definitely pick it up. Next, we're going to talk about an article that was in our local newspaper here about our city, sports related. But we'll get into it next. Hang on.
I was running through the 6 with my walk. You know how that shit go. You know how that shit go. You know how that shit go. Running through the 6 with my walk. You know how that shit go. You know how that shit go. You know how that shit go. Don't fuck with them niggas.
So in the last part of this podcast, we're going to talk about an article that was written in the Toronto Sun or Toronto Star. I can't remember which one it was. And they were talking about the worst cities to live in sports-wise. Everybody makes jokes about how terrible Cleveland is to live in a city, to cheer for sports fans. The Browns stink. The Indians stink. They don't have a hockey team. Well, the Cavs used to stink until last year when LeBron came back. So it was the worst sports cities to live in, and it was one of the worst cities to live in. But second on that list is one of the most beautiful cities in the world, if you ask me. And I might be a little bit biased, but I've been to a fair amount of cities in the States. I've been to cities abroad as well. And I still come back to Toronto and say this is one of the best cities in the world to live in. And Toronto is second on that list as the second most miserable city to live in to support sports teams. I'm like, nah, man, Toronto's wicked. What are you talking about? Everybody supports their teams. Everybody supports the teams in Toronto. The teams are garbage. And then it was just like, oh, that's what they mean. The teams in Toronto are garbage. Okay? And it's not just me saying that. There's facts to back it. Teams are garbage in Toronto. Y'all know that I'm not a Raptors fan. And I had to explain this. And I shouldn't say that, actually. Let me start over again. I shouldn't say I'm not a Raptors fan. If you ask me who my favorite basketball team is, I'll tell you it's the New York Knicks. But majority of people out there have different teams that they cheer for. And I can cheer for the Raptors. I have no problem cheering for the Raptors. There's nothing, there's nobody on the team. The team didn't do anything to me. They have Toronto on their chest. I can bat them, no problem. It's the fans I don't like. It's those Raptor fans that I don't like that just 2 years ago realized we had a basketball team and now they want to sit down and tell you this, that, and the third about basketball and what Toronto Raptors should do. And please, that's the nonsense I don't like. I don't like the nonsense of having a voting contest to get guys into the All-Star game. Because we're from Canada and Kyle Lowry's the best because he plays for the Raptors. We need to vote 100 times to get this guy into the... I don't like that shit either. And that's what people in Toronto do. We sit back and we think we're getting snubbed because we're Canadian. But when you really sit down and really take a look at all the facts, we get snubbed because we're garbage. We're not that good. There's better players out there than what we have. So just because you're great on a bad or mediocre team doesn't make you a great player overall. Like I said, not going to get into that. We can get into that when we have maybe Tony Rockus will come and we'll talk about that kind of stuff, or we'll get Edson on the phone so he can explain. He's a diehard Raptors fan, but he's a diehard Raptors fan because he's from Toronto and he likes Toronto teams and he'll back them to the hilt. He was a Pacers fan before the Raptors came here, just like I was a Knicks fan before the Raptors came here, and I never switched. But I can see where he would want to be a Raptors fan. It's you're repping your city, you know? So anyways. We'll get into that later down the road. We can have those guys on and we can debate that. It's like I said, it's not the team. Team did nothing to me. It's the fans. Can't stand Raptors fans. The just come lately Raptors fans want to sit down and talk to me about basketball. Hilarious. Hilarious. But getting back to this article is it's stating fact. And when I started to read into it, it was just like, yo, this guy has it pinpointed, and it's like, yo, these teams are garbage. These franchises are garbage. And there's one common denominator in all these stories. Well, maybe not a common denominator in all of them, but out of the, I want to say six professional teams that we have here. I don't know if lacrosse and CFL count. Or you want to count that. I know it counts as a professional sport, but do you really want to count the CFL and lacrosse? I don't know. But of the four major sports in North America, three of our teams are owned by the same company, MLS&E. That's Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. And those guys are all about the bottom line. And I've said this in previous podcasts. You can put five elephants on skates with a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey on and you'll sell the building out. It doesn't matter who's wearing the jersey. As long as there's people skating around with a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey on, people will pay $200 a ticket to watch it. No, it doesn't matter if they lose every game. Doesn't matter if they win every game. And people are out there saying, well, why? What's the motivation for MLSE to invest money into the Toronto Maple Leafs when it doesn't matter what nonsense they put on the ice? People are going to pay. You can't get tickets for the Leafs. This last season, this past season that they were involved in, was one of the worst in franchise history, I believe. One of the worst seasons, maybe not in franchises, but one of the worst seasons that I've seen. And I started watching hockey maybe early 80s. I didn't even watch the games. I thought the season was over. And they still had 3 games left. Bad, man. It's bad, the Leafs. The Leafs were bad this year. Bad. But Saturday night, can't get a ticket. Or you could get a ticket, but you're paying for it. You're paying a lot of money for it. So why? What's the motivation for MLSE to say, we're going to make the Toronto Maple Leafs better? What for what? Everyone comes there, they pay their $125 per ticket to sit there, drink $13 beers, eat $7 slices of pizza, go home disappointed, $25 to park. Well, who cares? Why should we make this team better? But anyways, they're trying to make it better, but keep going off on tangents. Getting back to the article. Article laid down some stats. Not surprising. I knew about it in the back of my mind, but when you see them, when you actually read them and see them, it's just more alarming. A professional soccer team, Toronto FC, has been in the league for, this is their 9th season, I believe, and they've never made the playoffs. Teams come into this league, first year, second year, third year, they're in the playoffs. We're 9 seasons in and no playoffs, and I think we're on our 10th coach. And for those of you that don't realize the significance of that, is every time a new coach comes in, it's a new philosophy. So if the players don't fit your philosophy, you got to get rid of them. So now you're bringing in another new set of players. And then you replace the coach, and then they say, nope, I don't like these guys. And you bring in another set of, of players. And it's, I always tell people, if you were to go and look when teams are playing, how many of those guys used to play for a certain team? It'll tell you everything you need to know about that team. Case in point. If you look at an MLS game and Toronto FC is playing someone and you look at the team that they're playing against, oh, that guy used to play for TFC. That guy used to play for TFC. That guy used to play for TFC. And then you know exactly what kind of franchise you're dealing with the team that they came from. And the Leafs and the Knicks are all the same. So many former Knicks and so many former Leafs are out there. Former. And they're all doing well now. It's like, well, is it the player? Is it the coach? Is it the team? Is it the franchise? Is it the organization? Is it the philosophy? What is it? So our professional soccer team has been around for 9 years. They've never made the playoffs, and they're on their 9th coach, and they were losing tonight 3-0 in the first 30 minutes of the game, I believe. 17th minute, I believe. It was 3-0. They were playing in Dallas. It started to rain and lightning started to hit. So they had to postpone the game. I think it was postponed. There was a delay. They gave us like a 2-hour delay or whatever. And I turned it off and I said, forget it. If they play it, good for them. If they don't, oh well. But it was 3-0 in the 17th minute. So I texted a buddy of mine and I was like, well, how long till this guy's fired? And he wrote back, yeah, this should be it. If they lose tonight, he should be gone. So by tomorrow or Monday, we'll be on our 10th coach in 9 seasons. And he's going to look at the team and say, yeah, you know what? This guy, they don't fit my philosophy. Bring me in 3 more guys. And here we go. The rotation keeps on going. You need a solid backbone, a solid set of players that you can rely on. Look at the Spurs. They have 3 guys you can rely on. No matter what other guys are coming in around them, those 3 core guys are always there. We don't have that. Well, we do have that now because we paid them so much money that no one else can afford them. So they have to stay. But anyway, that's a whole different... That's MLSE for you. Just they pay to make their problems go away, and when they don't, they just buy more Band-Aids. So that's our soccer team. Leafs, Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, if you live in Toronto and you know all about the Toronto Maple Leafs, they haven't won the Stanley Cup since 1967. I believe. Well, no, I do. But no, that's right. They haven't won the Stanley Cup since 1967. And they haven't been to the playoffs in the last 2 seasons. So And their tickets are the most expensive tickets. It's disgusting what people want for them. When people have them and they can't go and you see them on Kijiji, it's disgusting what these prices are for one game. And this team's garbage? Oh my God. And even the face value of the ticket prices are just outrageous. And you still can't get season tickets. That line is a million miles long. If I wanted a season's tickets, I'm 38, 39 now. I probably won't get season tickets if I put myself on the list till I'm 60. I'll get them when I'm 60. It'll be my turn when I'm 60. That's how far back everybody is for that team that does nothing. Toronto Raptors, it's been 14 years. 14 years since they won a playoff series. It's been 14 years since they got out of the first round of a playoff series. 14 years. For all of you out there that have kids, if any of you have a 14-year-old, that's how long it's been. From the time they were born till they're 14 years, they haven't come out of the first round of the playoffs. And they only started making the playoffs when? Last season? Consistently? This is the second year they've been in the playoffs. And they played today, and they lost at home. So, you've got TFC that's never been to the playoffs in 9 years. You've got the Leafs who haven't won the Stanley Cup since 1976 or 1967. You've got the Toronto Raptors that haven't won a playoff series haven't won a playoff series in 14 seasons. And you've got the beloved Blue Jays, who aren't owned by MLSC, who haven't made the playoffs since 1993. They haven't made the playoffs since they won the World Series. And I'm happy to say that I was around when they won the World Series. I saw both of them back to back. But that's the longest playoff drought in MLB, going on right now in MLB. Every team has been to the playoffs. I think even the Cubs have been in the playoffs since we won the World Series. And they're the Cubs. So the Jays, Raptors, Leafs, and TFC all have problems. And three of those teams are owned by MLS&E. And I don't know. Is it a common denominator? What is it? People say, oh, no one wants to come to play to Canada. Oh, we get raped because of the exchange and the money. Because we're making Canadian money and we have to pay in American dollars to the players. And that has nothing to do with success on the field. Like, these guys print their own money. These guys print their own damn money. They run the Marlies. They run real sports. They can pay. So let's not fall on that excuse. And we don't have the means because we're losing money on the exchange rate. Money was good for about a year now. So if we can get players, we got to get players. To round out the top five of the most miserable cities to live in sports wise, New York City, Houston, and Minneapolis are round off the top five. I don't know what order those three come in, but I know it's Cleveland, Toronto, and put New York City, Houston, and Minneapolis in whatever order you want to. And you're going to say, New York City? What are you talking about? The Yankees and the Giants and none of that. But they grouped the Giants, the Yankees, and the Rangers, the hockey team, into one part of New York, and the Mets, the Jets, and the Knicks in another part of a New York. So they had two New York sections. And the one with the Knicks, the Jets, and the Islanders. Actually, the Knicks, the Jets, and the Islanders were in one section of New York, and the Rangers, the Giants, and the Yankees were in the other one, and that's why there. I think their second best city to live in, and the first best city to live in is Boston. If I were to read you, which I will, the championships that this city has won in the last, since the year 2000, I think 15 years ago, for the last 15 years, it's crazy. The New England Patriots have won the Super Bowl in 2001, 2003, and 2004. And they won it this past season as well. So that's four. Well, that's four in the last 14 years. Okay? They've won four championships in the last 14 years, and the Raptors haven't been to the playoffs, haven't won a playoff series in those times that the New England Patriots have won four Super Bowls. We move on. Boston Bruins won the Stanley Cup in 2011. Boston Red Sox won the World Series in 2004, 2007, and 2013. And the Boston Celtics won the NBA Championship in 2008. So you're going to go 2001, Parade, Patriots. 2003, Parade, Patriots. 2004, Parade, Patriots and the Boston Red Sox. 2007, Parade, Boston Red Sox. 2008, Parade, Boston Celtics. 2011, Parade, Boston Bruins. 2013, Parade, Boston Red Sox again. And then 2014, Parade, New England Patriots. City of Champions, I'd say so. I'd say so. And what are they doing that's so special? What's in the water up there that's so that they can do this, and teams with all the money in the world can't do anything, right? Maybe we shouldn't be poaching players. Maybe we should be poaching brain trust. We don't have an NFL team, I get it, but hockey, basketball, baseball, what are they doing? What are they doing right that the Toronto sports franchises can't do? It is kind of frustrating to live in a city. You can't really talk nonsense with anybody because your teams are garbage. And I really hope the Raptors, and yes, I'm going to say this, I really hope the Raptors get out of the first round this time around. All the hype that we go through all season long, and to come down to game 7 and lose it, and it's too much sometimes. But I am cheering for them a little bit, don't tell anybody. But Raptors fans, you can all jump in a lake for all I care. But anyways, as usual, you can get to us at Straight Talks website. That's STR8TALKS.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn. Number of different ways you can get subscribe to our podcast. You can also listen directly from the website. There's a player within each episode section. There's a player you can just hit the play button and each episode will play. There's also a forum. You can start posts, respond to topics, things like that. So if there's anything that I've said on this podcast that you don't agree with, definitely go on there and let your voice be heard. With that, thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Straight Talks podcast, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks.
Y'all know the name.
From the street crowd reaction, chumps pull guns when they feel afraid. Too late when they dip in the kick, they get sprayed. Lemonade was a popular drink and it still is. I get more props and stunts than Bruce Willis. A poet like Langston Hughes and can't lose when I cruise out on the expressway. Leaving the bodega, I say suave. Premier's got more beats than Bond's got hate. Clips are inserted into my gun so I can take the money, never have to run.
gonna get blunted, my brother. Now may I make a mark, then make a spark over this fat track? Or should I say dope beat? Subtract, delete all of the wick-whack that wanna be abstract, but they lack the new knack that's coming from way, way back. Ayo, Premier, please pass that Buddha sack. You heard we quit? No way, bullshit. I told you before, we come back with more hits. I provide right flavor, so you can sketch me. Do me a favor, don't try to catch me. Slightly ahead of the game, I'm not a lame. Ask him, he'll tell you the same. He knows my name, smooth. I drop jewels like paraphernalia. I'm infallible, not into failure. Like a rhinoceros, my speed is prosperous and pure knowledge expands from my esophagus. I write in the night to bring truth to the light. My dialogue is my own, cause Smooth B will never bite. Bite. After the tour quits, I come back with more hits. After the tour quits, I come back with more hits. After the tour quits, I come back with more hits.
That was nasty, right? I cocked that joint back and banged on him.